How do you do? Come with us now, and you'll meet a man whose life appears to be a tangle of contradictions. As you learn more about him, though, you'll discover that first impression was wrong. You'll see the direction and purpose that are his, since his heart and mind and life have been unshackled.
Is the wound still very painful?
No worse than it was.
I think it'll heal satisfactorily.
One thing about it, I've bled so much there shouldn't be any infection.
Why didn't you get treatment sooner?
Couldn't. I was scheduled for a radio talk show. Had to do that before coming to you.
I don't think I quite understand how you came to be stabbed. With a pair of scissors, you said?
Right.
Was it... I mean, this lady who was with you, did she do it?
No, Doctor, I'm not the one who stabbed him.
It was a woman on the street, a stranger.
You mean she just walked up without any reason and plunged the scissors into your arm?
I guess she thought she had a reason.
What reason was that?
Well, you see, a number of us were demonstrating on Broadway in the North Beach section.
Demonstrating?
In front of the nudie go-go bars. I don't think we're very good for their business with our picket signs that say, love, not lust.
No, I don't suppose you are. But what are you, an otherwise dignified middle-aged Jewish gentleman, doing in a situation like that?
Well, that's a long story, Doctor, but if you really want to know, I'll tell you all about it when you take the stitches out.
From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, the unique dramatic series that tells the true stories of real people. More than a century ago, the old lighthouse opened its doors to offer help to the men and women of the street. The extent of that help and the number of those who come to seek it keep growing. Help includes food, clothing, lodging, medical and dental care, and counsel. All are given without charge. In 1950, these programs began, opening a new avenue of outreach for the old lighthouse, and today Unshackled's heard in more different parts of the world and by more people than ever before. This steady growth continues as some who listen make it their business to help make it possible for others to hear the program that makes you face yourself and think.
When I was born in Kansas City, Missouri, the name they put on my birth certificate was Martin Meyer Rosen. When I was 8 days old, however, my father took me to a moil. In the presence of the minion, 10 men, the instructions to Abraham found in Genesis 17:10 were carried out.
This is my covenant, which ye shall keep, between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every male among you shall be circumcised.
My mother's parents came from Austria to the United States. They were Reform Jews. My father's father, who had owned a factory in Russia, brought his family to America to escape persecutions. He was an Orthodox believer. My parents met and married in 1928, and I was born in the terrible Depression year of 1932. Something else that was terrible was happening in the world. My first awareness of it came when I was 7 years old. At that time, the beginning of World War II was very close. I remember my parents sitting with their ears glued to the radio. Their faces were pale and tense. The voice coming from the loudspeaker was harsh, strident, and dramatic.
Die Vereinigten Staaten ist nicht ein starkes Land. Sie ist ein schwaches, gereintes und verderbenes Land. Der Juden gefährdet worden und der Juden verderbten worden.
Adolf Hitler denouncing the United States as a weak, flabby nation ruled by Jews and corrupted by them. My mother and father shut off the radio afterward, and they were visibly shaken by what they had heard.
Such hate. That man is filled with hate.
Yeah. You know, that same hate is what drove my parents to this country. Now it's as though the hate is following us.
That hate followed 6 million people to the concentration camps, the gas chambers, and the mass graves. Even in Kansas City, I encountered echoes of it as I was growing up, when I lied about my age and joined a National Guard artillery unit at the age of 15, I found that my battery first sergeant was loaded with that kind of hate. When he carried his particular brand of persecution too far, I clubbed him down with the butt of a carbine, stomped on his back with my boots, pushed him around, and punched him out. I was militantly protective of my Jewish heritage, but if anyone had asked me, "What is a Jew?" I don't know what I would have said. God seemed to have nothing to do with my Jewishness. There was some reason for this. My father, although he attended synagogue and sent me and my younger brother to Hebrew school, had a very negative attitude toward things religious.
It's all right to observe certain things that are traditional. I never work on the Yontif. Let's face it, religion is a racket.
Dad spent about an hour each evening instructing his sons in his philosophy of life. He also made sure we could recite our Hebrew prayers. Much of his instruction had to do with business principles, how to deal with people, how to determine the value of an item, and how to buy and sell. Since I was sure that religion is a racket, I decided I was an agnostic and was pretty sure that God did not exist at all. Even if there was a God, I wanted him to mind his business and let me tend to mine. All of this was reinforced when I met Seal, and we began to date.
Oh, that was a good show. I'm glad we went.
Yeah, me too. You hungry?
Kind of.
What looks good?
Waffles and sausage, I guess.
Well, that's okay for me, maybe, but you?
What do you mean?
Pork sausage.
Oh, that.
What do you mean, oh, that? I know your family keeps kosher.
That's my family, but it isn't me. I'm an atheist, and all that stuff about things being kosher or treif is silly. When I'm away from home, I don't pay any attention. If you don't mind, I'll have the pork sausage.
I always tried to observe the main fast days, but Seal had nothing but contempt for such practices. We were together 1 year on Yom Kippur, and Seal made a point of buying me a treat.
Here you are, honey. Have an ice cream cone.
Seal, this is Yom Kippur.
I know that. And by this time, you ought to be getting hungry. Eat your ice cream cone and stop grumbling.
I ate the cone, but I felt guilty and weak because I had given in to my hunger. Now, I'd better explain that, so far as I knew, the population of the United States was divided into two kinds of people, Jews and Christians. My own identity as a Jew was a condition of birth. My parents were Jews, therefore I was a Jew. I assumed that the same thing was true of Christians. To me, the words Christian and Gentile were interchangeable in the Midwestern American scene. I also assumed that most of these Christians were against Jews. When I met my first serious Christian, I wasn't ready to hear what he had to say. He and I were waiting at a bus stop. It was Yom Kippur. This young man opened the conversation.
Hey, you coming from work too?
No, I spent the day in synagogue.
Oh. You go regularly?
Not really, but today is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement.
Oh.
It's a very important Jewish holiday. It's the one day in the year when we go to synagogue to ask for the forgiveness of sins.
I see. Do you feel your sins are forgiven?
I hope so. Wonder what's keeping that bus.
You know, there's a way you can know for certain your sins are forgiven.
Yeah?
I know for a fact Christ died for my sins. made it possible for me to know God, find eternal life.
That's all right for you if it helps you, and you really believe that way. But as for me, I'm a Jew.
And then I want to shake your hand. You know, well, I'm all the more pleased to meet you because you're Jewish.
Yeah.
Every Jew I meet helps increase my faith in God and the Bible. Every living Jew is evidence that the God of the Bible exists, that he keeps his word.
He is? I mean, I am?
The passage in the Bible that makes me feel this way is in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. You know it, of course.
Why, go ahead.
Oh, it goes, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
You, really believe that, don't you?
Of course. The Jews have a glorious destiny. There will come a time when they'll carry the message of redemption through Christ to all the world.
I never heard that before.
Hey, here comes a bus. Oh, we can talk more after we get on.
I was impressed by his knowledge of the Bible and his friendliness and the apparent sincerity of his beliefs. After we got on the bus, he went on with his explanation.
You see, well, God became a man so he could show his love to mankind.
I'm not sure I follow you.
Well, look, suppose for some reason a man decided he really loved the ants on a particular anthill. He began to supply them with bread and honey, but he suspected the ants didn't really understand how much he cared. Now, if he had the power, and if his love for the ants were sincere, would it make sense for him to become an ant himself for a while so he could communicate his feelings to him?
Mm-hmm. I guess so. Yeah. But the love would have to be pretty strong for a man to want to become an ant.
Exactly. And it was overwhelming love that prompted God to become a man in Jesus Christ. He accepted the conditions and limitations of manhood so that he could show his love toward men, so that he could communicate that love in a way they'd understand, and so that he could pay the penalty for their sins.
He gave me a pocket-sized New Testament, and I promised to read it. I had fasted all day, but I wasn't even aware of being hungry. I had never heard anyone explain the Christian faith so well. And I wondered if I might have to revamp my definition of Gentile and Christian. I put the New Testament on my dresser, lay on the bed, and stared at the ceiling. If I read that book, I might believe it. Then I thought, if I believed it, I might believe in Christ. By believing in Christ, I will have become a Christian. That would amount to ethnic treason. I left the book unopened. A few days later on the bus, I again met the young man who had given me that New Testament.
I hope you found that book worth reading.
Look, I appreciate your concern and all that, but you're not going to get me to convert. I really don't want to talk about this anymore. I went back to my old ways of thinking. Religion was necessary to comfort the dying and keep children in line. It was the opiate of the people. Religious people didn't see beauty. They didn't enjoy good literature. They didn't listen to real music. I thought I had pushed the whole subject out of the way for good. Seal and I married very young, and I felt very safe from religious ideas with my agnosticism and an atheistic wife. I was wrong.
In a moment, we'll find out why this man was wrong and the strange role that his wife played in changing his situation. Harry, one of the best things I know for turning up true stories for Unshackled is the distribution of home study courses in the Gospel of John.
That's very true. Again and again, our first contact with someone whose life has, in time, made the basis for a true story in Unshackled has come when that person wrote to enroll for the free home study course.
It's been carefully and prayerfully prepared by Bible scholars. When you enroll, you're sent without charge a copy of the Gospel according to John.
With that book, you also receive the first lesson in the series. At the end of it are several questions which you are asked to answer.
Then, having done so, return the quiz paper to us. Our people will check it over, grade it, and send it back to you with their helpful and friendly comments. They'll also send you the next lesson in the series. At the end of the course, upon successful completion, we'll send you evidence you may show to others that you have so completed it.
We urge you to right now and enroll for the free course in the Gospel of John. Great numbers have done so in the past and have been well pleased. We think you will be also.
To enroll and at no cost, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Ask for the home study course in the Gospel of John. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605.
At Christmas time, 1951, my husband brought home an album of Christmas carols. One afternoon while I was playing the record, I started to think about In Thy Dark Streets Shineth the Everlasting Light. And I, the determined atheist, prayed, God, could it be possible that what these Christians are saying about Jesus is true? I'm ready to go back and be an Orthodox Jew and keep all the laws if this is what you want. Or to believe in Jesus. Please show me what's right. I'd better make it clear that since my marriage and getting away from the pressure of having to be religious that I had known before, I felt more free and discovered that I really did believe in the existence of God after all. So it was possible for me to pray. After my prayer, I got busy taking care of the baby and forgot all about it. And then on New Year's Eve, I looked out my pantry window and saw a star, bigger and brighter than I'd ever noticed before. And from that day on, I felt a tugging from somewhere inside me to know more about Christianity. Finally, I asked my cousin to pick up a cheap Bible in a local dime store. As I read it, I found things I wanted to share with my husband.
What do you mean this is really a Jewish book?
Well, over and over again, Jesus is quoting Jewish scriptures and prophecies. Look, you can read right in here where it says, Jesus is the son of David and the son of Abraham.
Look, I don't need any old wives' tales to clutter up my life. Read that thing if you have to, but don't pester me about it.
I tried prayer again. This time I asked God to show me if Jesus really was the Messiah and to help me find somebody to talk to. The answer to that came very quickly. Well, this is a funny time of day for visitors. Well, yes?
Good afternoon. My name is Hannah Wago.
Oh, well, how do you do?
May I come in for a few minutes? I'd like to tell you about a few things in the Holy Scriptures.
What's that?
I said I'd like to show you
Come in. Come in. You may be an answer to a prayer. Hannah was a Hebrew Christian missionary. So far as I knew, no one could have told her about my prayer. It was known only to me and to God. It was such a fantastic experience that I had to go out of the room to cry because I didn't want her to see me. At the end of our conversation, Hannah made a suggestion.
Mrs. Rosen, if you have come to think that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, then you should go to a church where the gospel is preached, and where you'll be asked to publicly declare your trust in Christ. I'll give you the address of one that isn't too far away.
I didn't make too much fuss about my wife attending a church, but I certainly didn't expect the announcement she made when she came home.
Honey, I went forward in that church this morning.
You what? What does that mean?
I made a public statement that I believe in Jesus Christ.
You know something? I was a lot happier with you when you were an atheist. Because I was proud of my own liberalism, I hesitated to show my irritation to Seal. Finally, I laid down what I hoped would be the ground rules.
You mean I'm not supposed to go to a church?
That's right. You can believe in your heart if you want to, but don't tell anybody and don't go to church. Another thing, our baby will be raised Jewish. Sometimes after one of our conversations, I found myself suspecting that what she said made sense, but then I always considered such thoughts to be a false alarm. Finally, I became very impatient with the whole business.
Hello? Oh, Hannah. Oh, I'm glad you called. Well, my husband says he doesn't want me to talk to you, but I don't know why you can't give me Bible lessons on the phone. Yes? Well, you know the idea that the Christian doctrine of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a form of polytheism. I need to know how to answer that for my own satisfaction and when I'm talking to my husband.
Seal, you're talking to your husband right now. But who's on the other end of that line?
Well, Hannah, of course.
Of course. Well, the line has just gone out of order.
Why, you pulled the phone right out of the wall.
That's right. Now let's have no more foolishness.
Mush, listen to me. I love you very much, but don't make me choose between Jesus and you. You never drink. We only keep that in the house for guests. What's the idea?
I'm going over to talk this over with my father. I need a couple shots to give me courage.
Moishe, what is this matter that you say you need to discuss with me?
Well, Seal says she believes in Jesus. She reads the New Testament. She prays. I don't think she's flipped, but how can I live with her when she's going on like this? Do you think we should get a divorce?
Shame on you. You've been drinking.
You know I usually don't drink. It's just that I'm worried.
Well, you can't be serious about divorcing her. She's a nice Jewish girl from a nice family. You shouldn't drink if you want to make such silly jokes.
Seal left booklets lying around. I read some of them, but wasn't impressed. A few days later, on a Saturday evening, I was sitting in my favorite chair, and I found myself asking, what do I really believe? It was an awesome moment. When I looked inside, I realized I actually believed what my wife was saying. Then I told Seal what was happening in my mind. She seems to have expected it.
If the Lord could change Saul to Paul, you shouldn't be all that big a problem.
Saul who?
Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. When the Lord got through to him, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
Yeah, well, that's a little the way I feel right now.
Well, then let's kneel down and pray.
Kneel? That's a goyish thing to do.
It isn't goyish. It's Christian. There's a difference.
We went to church the next morning. I made a public profession that day. It was Pentecost Sunday, as Seal had on Easter Sunday. And my whole life was changed.
My husband threw himself into learning all he could about Jesus, Messiah. His father, though, was deeply concerned and finally arranged for Moishe to see a psychiatrist. That was a very strange session.
Well, what brings you here?
Well, I've become a believer in Jesus, and lately I've felt the hand of God guiding me.
Tell me, Martin. Just where upon your body do you feel the hand of God?
No, that's idiomatic. I simply mean that I had an inner conviction.
Well, you you might as well understand that I don't believe in the existence of God. Now, I have good reasons for my opinion, and I'll share them with you. If you have studied comparative religions, you must know. It's apparent that indeed, God is the noblest creation of man.
Pardon me, Doctor, but when you're talking to me, is my father paying for this time? I do think your opinions are interesting, but I don't think it's worth $50 of my father's money for me to sit here and listen.
Sit here on the edge of the desk with your legs hanging down. I want to test your reflexes.
Because of that session, I have a letter stating that I am psychiatrically normal. That's more than a lot of people can say. Well, we went to Bible school after that. Later, I went to work for the American Board of Missions to the Jews. The experience was very helpful. Then in the late 1960s, I began a ministry to young people of the hippie movement. Out of that has grown the movement that is known as Jews for Jesus. We have a remarkable group of people, most of them young, who have come out of rebellion against the establishment and their own parents. Many have been into drugs. But now, as believers in Christ, as Messiah, they have come full turn and rediscovered their Jewishness. They are people fulfilled and home at last.
Moish Rosen, founder and tribal head of Jews for Jesus, is, like Paul, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. His trust in Christ is not denial, but fulfillment. He is that most to be envied person, a man who has found himself. The living Lord who changed the mind of this man and of his wife will give you peace and purpose as you trust in him. To counsel with someone who is concerned about you, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. If you listen in Europe, address Unshackled in care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. If you listen in the Philippines, address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. This week, please take time to write and let us know that you're hearing Unshackled. As you write to us, how about dropping a line to the manager of this radio station? When you write to him, all you need say is, "Thanks very much for Unshackled." Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life's empty, it really can be filled to overflowing. Write to us this week if you can. Your letters are very important. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. And if you need spiritual help now, here's a number to remember. You can use it right now and call us. The area, 312-922-1462. Area 312-922-1462.